And then
about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning. It is 7:06 in the morning. It's Carl and Linda Fott. Today's the 24th of August. It's going to be a hot one today, and Linda will be talking about that in a minute.
And then you wake up and say, is it real? I'm standing here. Is it real?
Is it the end of August already? Hey, we're going to have a heck of a big show today. A really big show. We have people rolling in at 7:15. We have Phil Smith from KIXE Channel 9, the new general manager over there, who has kind of started a little firestorm by making a command decision there and taking a show off the air, which seems to have caused a lot of
taking your calls, too. 605-4567 here in the hotline.
That's if you can get by Bad Bob, our producer extraordinaire.
Good morning.
You've got your Hawaiian shirt back on today?
Yes. And I noted 60 degrees out on the porch this morning, which means if we hit 110, that's a 50-degree swing, which will definitely put us to the test. It weeds out the unfit, I always say.
That's right. So when you see people laying on the ground out there, go over quickly, take that little bottle of water, spray it on, and watch it just the steam hit.
Is that what makes you exhausted?
No. In fact, somebody who is so exhaustively beautiful is sitting next to me. It's just when I look at her, my eyes fatigue from the beauty. Linda, good morning.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it's going to be a good day today. We, like Carl said, we've been looking forward to the guests that are coming in this morning. And I want to tell you about the weather. It is going to be hot today with 108. Tomorrow, down a degree. Tomorrow will be 107, the prediction. And Thursday, 99. And then we'll go into a fabulous weekend. But today is going to be 108.
New
and
record.
Well,
today, maybe.
The record is 112 for today.
I think I lived in that when it was 112.
You mean Cheetah? You mean Cheetah was teasing this morning?
According to the National Weather Service, the record for today's date was 112 in Redding, 108 in Sacramento, and considering the humidity factor in Sacramento, that had to be ugly.
You know, I just want to share with you real fast before we get into the, you know, the thick of it. I went to go get my registration done, and I pulled my book out. And I'm reading that book. Before I see the movie Eat, Pray, Love, I'm seeing the book. And right now, the character is in Italy. She's living in Rome. So I came upon this article this morning I have to share with you because it's lighthearted. And as it goes like this. They leap from helicopters or speeding boats, bringing aid to swimmers who get in trouble off Italy's popular beaches. For these canine lifeguards, the doggy paddle does just fine. The Associated Press has a fun story about Italy's corps of canine lifeguards, which are deployed each summer to help swimmers in need of rescue. These life dogs wear a harness or tow a buoy that victims can grab or raft they can sit on and be towed back to shore, and unlike other human counterparts, they can easily jump from helicopters and speeding boats to reach swimmers in trouble. With millions flocking to Italy's crowded beaches each summer, the Italian Coast Guard says it rescues about 3,000 people every year, and their canine helpers are credited with saving several lives.
That was in the, I saw that originally in From Wolves to Dogs, a Smithsonian documentary, and it showed how they trained them and everything. It's not an easy thing, and probably only like 10% of them actually make it through the training. In fact, some of them, it's pretty cute. This one lab, everybody else is jumping in the water, and the lab is just looking, looks over the edge, looks at everybody, looks up at the trainer, looks at the guys in the helicopter, looks back down in the water. He goes, I don't think this is going to happen. And they never force them out. But speaking of ugly, did somebody say speaking of ugly? Hey, we had ugly last night.
Did we?
Mayor Patrick Jones and City Council candidate Ken Murray unsheathed the swords. Well, you know, really, swords is not even really the right description.
There was no
name calling.
So I mean,
there
was allegations.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit harder than that, but they took out clubs really and they started whacking at each other, and it was quite the event. They had the Redding Tea Party put on this debate at the Bonneville Christian Church. Or Baptist Church. And I headed on down there, was, you know, and just to see what it was going to be like. And let me tell you, standing room only, over 360 people. They said 360. I don't know how many you can stuff in there, but it was stuffed, and they had people standing all around. And it was a different debate. It was a different type of debate. This was, as Aaron, who heads up the Tea Party, says, like the old stump speeches. One would ask, stood up, and would ask a question of the other. The other would answer the question, and then the one that asked the question would have a rebuttal time. With this, if you were there last night, you saw a lot of things being said. We've got to take a break around and come back and go over that a little bit. But chat room's open. If you were there last night, why don't you give us a drop a line to us? Just go KCNR 1460 and just do the chat. You can write to Linda at linda@kcnr1460.com or just give us a call, of course, at 605-4567. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It is 7:14 and 54 seconds. It is 7:14 and 50 seconds. August 24th, it's going to be a hot one today. It was a hot one last night. Jones and Murray, Mayor Jones, candidate Ken Murray, whacking away at each other at the in church. But there was no blood drawn. However, there were quite a few points taken on each other. Jones concentrated on the fact that Murray, in his opinion, gave away the farm, is not a fiscal conservative, that he talked about how he squandered millions of taxpayer dollars in Stillwater and Turtle Bay, soccer fields, and bonuses for former city manager Mike Warren. At the same time, Murray comes back and says, hey, look, he says, you know, we're having problems here. That's right. Nobody says we're not having problems, but you've got to have people on the city council have a different attitude than my way or the highway. And the people that the unions are not going to even want to work with people that don't want to talk to them. And that Jones was tied to a developer on the Oasis Interchange. It was give and take at its best. You know, frankly, I enjoyed it. I enjoy seeing two men of, you know, they have obvious passion for it. And each had done their homework. And had gone into the bout prepared, and they went for it for the entire hour. Jones was standing up the whole time. He'd sit down and he'd jump back up again. Ken Murray, as he explained to everybody, is getting ready to have back surgery, and you know anybody's had back surgery before, you know what kind of pain you're in. But he was there. He may have been sitting down, but he was speaking mightily, you might say. It was a good give and take, and at least at the end of it, you could tell where these men stood. You could tell the main issues. The main issues are going to be between them is that Murray believes that Jones will not be able to, nor will he want to, actually try to come up with a decision or with a negotiated settlement with the unions, and it's going to be a tough fight. Jones has said to Murray that he's given it away. He's going to keep giving it away, and it's a choice between fiscal conservatism and where you were before. Yeah, it was good, and I enjoyed it, as I think most everybody else there did too. Like I said, a full house.
Well, yesterday's news, I'm sure that has affected many of us on some level of why can't we just agree. And this brings in about the woman who accused the Disney company of discrimination for refusing to let her wear a Muslim headscarf at work. And she won't wear a specifically designed hat instead. I'm not really sure how to... it's Imane Boudlal, who's a restaurant hostess at the Disney Resort in Anaheim, suggested a hat and bonnet is embarrassing and makes a joke of her religion. She's gone home without pay 7 times rather than remove her, what's it called? The wrap? It's hijab?
Hijab.
Or accept jobs away from customers. Now, I could go on and on about this, but, you know, I guess there are, what if you were Amish? You know, that's a belief, somewhat of their own religion. And if you're going to go into the world and work for a company, you don't say, I'm good at this, is, and there's a dress code, specifically a theme park.
That you sign and agree to.
So I think if Disney caves in on this particular situation, then it just opens up. The next thing you know is you'll have the tattoos and the piercings won't have to be covered up.
What about the Church of the Grand Dragon? Why can't I wear my hood?
Well, you don't have a hood. Let's clarify that.
Oh, no, but I'm saying is that's next if you can do this.
Yeah.
Why, I belong to the Church of the Grand Dragon. Exactly. I want to wear my hood.
How about if I have a swastika, you know, on my forehead? Why can't I wear that? You know, that's my hood.
Here is,
it goes on and on and on.
I agree 100% here, honey. Here's the thing. Is she signed the notice. You can't go after signing a notice 2 years later and say, hey, by the way, I changed my mind. You have got to change everything for me. They offered this woman a chance to go, okay, same amount of money, just don't be out in front with the customers. They call them cast members. Everybody there that works at Disneyland are cast members. She's a retail cast member. So she's greeting people. So they're saying this is not what Disney is. We don't do religion out here. She then says, that's not good enough. I want to stay out here. Well, then fine, then we'll give you a hat that says, you know, that covers your head, etc. It's still not good enough. So what's Disney to do here? They can do one of two things. They can cave, or they can say, well, I'm sorry, let's go to court. Now, Disney, in many cases, is more than willing to go to court. They've got lots of dual lawyers that just sit around out there because they have countless lawsuits against them. You know, somebody falls down, falls off a ride, something. You know, a lot of it is minor stuff, a lot of it isn't. But here's somebody that does not want to work with Disney that wants one thing, push her political agenda. Now, there's other people that go to the park, you see them all the time, they're in burkas, they're in everything. You know, nobody says anything, they're guests. They are not members of the cast. And again, you've tried to work with this woman. She is being backed, of course, by the Islamic societies. Oh, she has a right to do this. They have a right to wear a burqa and cover their face when they're getting their driver's licenses taken, pictures taken. Wrong. Court says wrong. Here's what I think, my friends. This is our country. This is a business that says, and she is, you know, is a citizen of the country. It's her country, too. But then you live by the rules of it, and you say that the rules that you signed up for, the ones you follow. It's a business. It's their business. They said, you don't do this. She signed it. She changed her mind. Sorry, take a job someplace else or take a job away from the tourists. It's simple. Not to do that, just exasperates what's going on in this, in religion and society here. Maybe we got to take a quick break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. On KCNR 1460, it's Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, it's 7:24 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Hey, you know, we do every chance we get, we push our local businesses and local events.
And you're ringing the bell right now.
I just rang the bell.
I think we need to ring the bell.
Dry Creek Station.
Dry Creek Station, yeah. So involved in the community, doing so many uplifting things. So right now we have Julene Bailey. Julene and Bailey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You can get in there and say good morning.
Good morning.
I put her on the spot. Her eyes all of a sudden got really big, like, Okay, and, well, we're talking about Dry Creek Station, which is how long has Dry Creek Station been around?
Jeffrey's had it since 1992.
Yeah, it's, people talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Great place for the bikes to show up and for those Sunday breakfasts.
Family
and
dinners.
And the steaks, yeah.
You guys have a chili cook-off coming up. What's tell us what's going on.
Yes, we do a fundraiser every year. It's a chili cook-off for the Bella Vista Fire Department. And this year it's will be on October 16th at 11 o'clock. And everybody is
invited
and would like, if you'd like to participate, just let us know.
Okay, October 16th, that's a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So are you looking for people to sign up?
Sign up for our chili cook-off and also to come and participate in the judging.
Okay.
We've got a lot of drawings and
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so what are your specials that you've got going on right now? Because, well, we got a Harley ride coming up. I think we need to head out there. What's going on? Give us the yummies.
Okay, we have right now we have a 6-ounce New York with prawns for $10.95, and we have a 6-ounce filet mignon and prawns for $12.95.
Wow. Now, how do you guys do that, and how do you stay so consistently good with great prices?
A lot of shopping. A lot of checking our prices, and thanks to the community, and we're doing all right.
All right. So we've got the October 16th chili cook-off.
Well, you know, we're going to have you back before that, because this is for a fundraiser for the fire people.
Bella Vista
Fire. So we'll have you back out again before that. And the I think part of the reason the community supports you all out there at Dry Creek is the fact that what you offer out there. You offer a friendly atmosphere. You offer great food. You know, it's easy to support you. There's some places it's hard to support.
Right.
For a variety of reasons. But Dry Creek Station is not that.
What I can recall was the fundraiser that you did for Logan, and you guys just knocked yourselves out. The community came out. It was a tremendous outpouring of love, and I think that they went beyond their goal of what they were trying to reach to help with medical costs.
We were able to write them a check for $10,000 the next day, and we had around 800 people show up. Some didn't eat, a lot did. Some just came and donated. And it was just amazing. We've never seen anything like it.
The North State.
That's the beauty
that's the North State.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Bailey, do they have you in there helping serve tables? And, you know, what do you have to do when you're on your summer break? Nothing? You don't do, you mean you don't have to fold the silverware or, okay.
It's difficult to fold silverware, but maybe dining, okay, the tablecloths.
Family business, you know, I just wonder maybe she... You know,
she'll pop in there and do some dishes and clear some tables.
Oh, well, there you go. So it's got a hand
now,
in it, too.
Tell us your location again for the two people that may not know it.
Okay. We are located in Bella Vista, about 6-8 miles off I-5, right across the street from the Bella Vista Fire Department and on the right-hand side. And like I said, we do dinner 7 days a week from 5 to 9 and breakfast on Sundays 9 to 11:30.
Well, that's good to hear because, you know, a lot of places are closed on Sunday, so it's a wonderful place to go with your family on the weekend.
You have great prices on breakfast, too.
Yes, and we focus on that. We focus on making sure that we are able to keep our prices down so that we can, you know, give to the community. And
well, thank you so much for stopping by today, you know, Dry Creek Station. And like I said, we want to have you back on again as we get closer for the chili cook-off. Because, you know what, I've been known to participate in those chili cook-offs.
Yes, he
one
loves
way or
them.
The other.
Yep, he loves those beans.
Good.
Well, thanks again. And Bailey,
thank you
for showing up today.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
All right, you guys have a great weekend.
And join us out there at, you know, Dry Creek Station. We're going to roll through there on Sunday, especially for breakfast. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, August 24th. It's 7:34 in the morning.
Currently 69 degrees. It's going to be a hot one today with 108.
Don't leave your dogs, kids, or grandma in the car.
Weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. Now, if you're deciding to go out for the jazz series this Friday, we understand the music room is sold out. However, do call anyway, 474-5546. For a reservation, they may be able to get you in another part of on the ranch. And, of course, we're all going to have a good time out there this Friday.
We always have a good time out there.
Never been out there not having a fabulous time. Well, the chat room is open. We're taking your phone calls at 605-4567. That is the hotline number. And we know that you're going to want to have some interaction here in the next segment.
Our guest is the new general manager of KIXE.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all doing?
We're doing fine, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was going to say that the heat here, a lot of people have asked me, you know, how my family's holding up under the heat. And the heat's about the same as Austin, Texas. So we feel very, very comfortable with it.
I'm familiar with Austin, Texas. I've been there a number of times when I was doing some contract work.
Well, Phil, thank you for taking the job.
Yeah.
And I am sure just as anybody comes in with a company where there's a turnover and a change and a decision to make a choice to move your family in a new environment, there's challenges. So would you share a little bit with our listeners some history of what you've done and then bring us to your decision to come to Reading?
Well, I started in the broadcast television industry in 1984, straight out of college, and I worked for 22 years at a string of stations in production and news. And I started out in Louisville. We lived in Lexington. I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and on to Tampa, Florida. And then we went back to Lexington for a second run, went to Birmingham, Alabama. And then in Birmingham, Alabama, we had been there about 8 years, and I believe he was 8-year-old son, came in one day, and they'd toured the station several times, and he came in and he said, "Dad, I have a question for you. Why do we never watch the station that you work for? Because we watched PBS, and we watched the Travel Channel, we watched all these other channels, but we never watched the channel I worked for." And I said, "Son, that's a real good question." And so about 6 months later, we were on our way to Austin, Texas, where I got out of the commercial television business and got into the public television business. And so we went to Austin in 2006. I worked for KLRU, which is the station that presents and produces Austin City Limits, and I was the senior vice president of operations and engineering there. And after about 3 years, I realized that for many years I really wanted to have more of a voice in how the station interacted with the community. And Austin's a great community, but it's very much wrapped around Austin City Limits. And I'm a local broadcaster. I've worked in local television, never had much of an interest in network television, and that's mainly because I have such an interest in local communities. And so this position came open, and I had a great number of people who thought I was out of my mind that I would consider coming to Reading, and I've even had some Reading folks ask me that question of, you know, why would you come to Reading if you were in Austin? And my response is that Reading is a whole lot cooler than you all think it is, and it's a great place to be. It's a great place to raise a family. It has mountains. It has a lot of its own culture and music and a variety of things here that North Staters should be very proud of. And I think that one of the senses I got from looking at KIXE when I was here for the job interview was that there was just a tremendous amount of material here that could be put on local television. And that part of KIXE's mission had been lost over the years, where they had gotten away from local broadcasting and gotten to be more of just a translator for the PBS network. Now, to be fair, they still do some local production, but not to the degree with which they need to do to be a relevant television station in the world of direct broadcast satellites and video on demand and internet television. There's just way too many streams of video available out there to not use the unique position of a local television station to talk about the local culture and arts.
Well, you know, it's funny that the same things that you've seen that brought you here, Phil.
I'm with you. Right there, I'm smiling.
You know, we decided, we've only been here ourselves 3 years, four at the most, for Linda's here before I was. And we could have made that choice, too, to go someplace else. We found Reading to be great in people, the care they have for each other, all the things to do around here in the North State. And there is a lot to do in the North State that people, I think, when they grow up here, may have lost sight of. And I hate to, I don't know if that's the right term, but they don't, you know, because it's been so beautiful around them for so long, mm-hmm. that when you go to other places, and then you truly find out when you come back how really nice Reading is.
Bob? Well, as a longtime Readingite who has watched KIXE since I was in my teen years, my brothers grew up with KIXE. It's been a pleasure to see the station evolving back to a local entity. I think they had drifted away from that, even as their technical capabilities had expanded. But like I said, back in the days when they were housed in the Continental Meat Company on Industrial Street, and that was when I first started volunteering there, it's a pleasure to see it come back and be part of the community.
Well, it's such a commercial TV, it has its place, commercial radio, public radio, public TV has their place too, and even though it has caused a lot of consternation at times.
Well, I mean, the television business has gone through a lot of changes in the 26 years that I've worked in it, And I want to make clear, too, that the position that KIXE is in right now is not because of anybody's fault or you know, a lot of good people have run that station for years. It's just that the world has changed dramatically, especially in the last 10 years, and it's going to continue to change. You're going to see more and more local broadcasters, especially in television news, they're simply going to stop broadcasting because the money is not there like it was when I got in the business in 1984. And, you know, my vision for the future is that, you know, some people say public television is dead. My vision for the future is I think that KIXE will wind up being the last man standing for local broadcasting.
Yay.
And in particular, that's going to be important because there won't be local voices. You know, and there has to be the ability for the community to reflect on itself. I mean, quite frankly, I can only watch so much of musicians in other countries and other places where I really want to see the musicians in the place that I live. I want to see, you know, and learn about high school students in the place that I live. I want to hear about public affairs and community affairs and arts and all the things that Reading has. You know, Reading, my message for you is that you're better than you think you are and that there's an incredible amount of potential for a television station to be all about Reading and Chico and the rest of the North State, because our market is larger than Reading. You know, but my words to those of you out here are that I came to Reading because I wanted to be here, not because there was any other reason I had to get out of Austin, Texas. Austin's a great place. Reading just seemed even more intriguing for me and my family.
And that's a great place to take a break. This is Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Phil Smith, the new general manager of KIXE.
Five Star Bank is here for you for more than 10 years in the great North Valley. It's true. Americans are the hardest working people on the planet.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCI. It is pushing shows brought to you by BNT Media. It is pushing shows brought to you by BNT Satellite right out on Airport Road. Doug Tooley, veteran of the 82nd Airborne, does Dish TV, does great work. He takes responsibility, my friends, for his work, and you can't ask for more than that. 244-1988 is his phone number. Our guest, Phil Smith, general manager at KIXE, who has been here.
The new man in town.
You've been here, what, a couple months now?
Been here since officially July 1st.
And you have set the new record for the amount of comments on an article in a record searchlight.
Read on.
You know what? How...
Yeah.
And you did this by being the general manager and making a decision. Is that correct?
By making a decision that I'm still a little skeptical of the amount of controversy that's going on out there because let me just give you a brief background.
Good.
I got here July 1st, and as you might imagine as a new manager, there's a lot going on at KIXE right now. We're doing a lot of reevaluating of things from the way we raise funds to the way that we program. And so I can't sleep. I mean, I've had a little too much coffee a few times, and I woke up in the middle of the night and got in this sleeping pattern where I kept waking up like an insomniac at 4:30 in the morning. So I thought, well, you know, I'm up. I wonder what's on the station in the middle of the night because I wanted to make sure we were operating okay. So I got up one morning and tuned in at 5 o'clock, and up pops a program called Democracy Now! Now, I admit I've never watched Democracy Now! Until I was here in Reading, partially because there have been a lot of critics that say, how in the world could you miss that program when you lived in Austin, Texas? And I'm going to address that in a minute, but to give you a quick short answer, it's not on in Austin, Texas on broadcast television. And I'm going to dispel that myth that I keep hearing from my emails about the 850 stations that I've seemed to have bucked with my one station here in Reading. But I got up and watched the program, and it was kind of obvious right off the get-go that this program, which kind of presented itself in its open graphics and its demeanor as a newscast, was clearly had a political bias. Now, I'm not even against political bias because I love freedom of speech. I'm a huge believer in freedom of speech, including the speech that I don't particularly care for. What I cannot tolerate is a program that proposes to be a news program but clearly has a political slant. I wouldn't want that on KIXE, whether it was conservative, liberal, you know, whatever the political ilk is, it doesn't really matter because that's not our mission. And I've had a lot of people since say, well, you're a counterbalance to Fox News. Well, clearly Fox News is a more of a conservative-based news organization. But, you know, hosts like Bill O'Reilly, they don't claim to be newscasts. They claim to be commentators. The other thing is that KIXE is not in the business of counterbalancing anybody. I don't air Fox News and don't intend to, and they probably wouldn't let me anyway. But we're not serving as a counterbalance at this point. In other words, if we have a program on it had better be clearly labeled, and it better counterbalance itself somehow, which is what we expect of our news programs. I mean, there's a Roper poll that's been out for 4 years now, and whether or not you agree with its findings, it shows that Americans for the last 4 years have rated PBS as the most trusted institution, not just the most trusted television network, but the most trusted institution. And there's a reason for that, and the reason is because, you know, try as they may, and they're not always perfect, they do tend to run down the middle as best that they can. Do they fail sometimes? I'm sure they do. We all have opinions, and they sometimes get into our work. But they do a pretty good job of shooting right down the middle with programs like the NewsHour, for instance. So I'm here partially to protect that, because that's a very important component to the credibility of public television. Jumping back to my insomnia, I watched that program. That particular episode was the one where the gentleman from WikiLeaks was on. And he was on for almost 35 minutes. I mean, that's not a newscast to do a close-up interview of one gentleman with one opinion for 35 minutes. But at the same time, I wanted to be fair. So lo and behold, the next morning, I couldn't sleep again. I got up at about 4:45, flipped it on again, and pretty much saw the same kinds of commentary, which were something called the gatekeeping function, by the way, for those of you who are fans of journalism. And the gatekeeping function basically says that you editorialize not only by what you say and show, but what you don't say and don't show. And so by having a newscast that shows one side of something, it isn't even arguable whether or not they're talking about the truth. It's the fact that they are not balancing it with the other side of a political conversation. So after that, I came back to the station. I discussed the issue with several staff members and had some conversations with folks in the community. And the general consensus was that that show had a political bias to it that I was very uncomfortable with. And so at that point, I can assure you folks there were no black helicopters, and I wish ExxonMobil would give us a lot of money. We could sure use it to start some new community programs, but we didn't have any pressure put on us by the government or by secret agents or anything. I went to the program director and said, I think this show needs to come off. So we decided to take it off on August the 1st. Now, here's the really ironic part. Before all this controversy, that show was off the air at least 2 to 2.5 weeks, and in that time, I had a grand total of 3 phone calls and 1 email for 2.5 weeks. So it was kind of obvious that nobody was really watching that program, or that everyone had been on vacation for 2.5 weeks. I guess that's another explanation. But clearly I was watching to see what would happen with that program. If we took it off and we had a torrent of individuals calling, then maybe we need to sit down and rethink this. It wasn't until an article appeared in the paper and what appears to be some type of networking with folks who are encouraging each other to call that seems to have far outstripped the number of viewers that we apparently had for the program to begin with.
Well, you have to understand about how the Reading.com works. And you haven't been here very long.
But no, I have not.
You now know how it works. We got to take a quick break here. But the way it works is this. They write an article. 20 people with 46 different names many times when they write. Get on there, and they start with you, and they make personal insults.
Yes, I definitely have experienced those.
Okay, and then they start insulting each other. Then they get into other things, and then it goes on from there. The fact is that does happen. That's what happens in that. And this has been addressed several times with Reading.com. And I think that being that the dead tree media that they are is that this is one way of bringing people into it, is to allow this kind of stuff to go on. However, the fact is that there was, I think, more comments than they've had in many a time on this. And we've got to take a quick break here. We're going to come back here. We're going to talk, finish up here with Phil and see where KIXC
see where we're
is
heading.
Going. Right. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Hey, you know you make me wanna
shout.
You know you make me wanna
shout.
Good morning, North Beach. That's right. When you get out of bed and get your feet on the floor, you better be shouting because it's going to be a fabulous day. It's currently 70 degrees here in the lovely North State. Going to be high today of 108. Ow.
Our guest today is Phil Smith, the general manager of KIXE. And we're going to talk about, we've only got a few minutes left in this segment, and we appreciate you coming on today.
And the chat room is ripping up.
Yeah, the thing is that we had Phil already set up to come in here this week when this thing all broke last week or So about, you know, the consternation. Okay, we've talked about that. Let's talk about the future.
Where are we going?
Yeah, where are we going?
Where we're going is great, because I know there's a lot of you know, consternation and some excitement, some anger and all this over this one issue. But this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the changes. And the changes aren't all going to be controversial ones. Let me start by telling you that PBS World and Create, which are our two channels, in addition to the main channel, are coming on Comcast and Charter Cable both. So for those folks of you who are concerned about that, maybe you can't support the station because we took Democracy Now! Off, we have 72 hours a day of great programming across three channels. So please check them out. They're available over the air, and they're available on the cable systems coming up. You know, we're starting some new initiatives to highlight our children's programming. There's going to be a primetime special of The Cat in the Hat, which is the latest program coming out of PBS that features the voice of Martin Short. And that's going to be on 8 p.m. on Labor Day. I know that's crazy for you Antiques Roadshow fans out there, but we're going to do an 8 to 9 special to bring kids and their parents together to watch the new release of The Cat in the Hat. You know, we've got our Ready to Learn programs, which are tied into programs like Cyber Chase, where we're not just television, but we're also community reading programs that, you know, for those folks who are interested in that, call the station. You know, don't just call to cuss me out, but call the station to ask Dawn about our Ready to Learn programs. You know, one of the most exciting things is we're raising funds so that we can start doing local production. You know, I've talked to the folks at the Cascade Theater about wiring that for television. We're talking about getting a remote truck if we can get some funds. And we're scratching and clawing. It's a tough economy out there. But if we can get the funding, we want to fire up an HD remote vehicle so that we can start doing high-definition production about the North State, not about everybody else's state, but our state here. You know, we're talking about bringing back a program for students because there's nothing here for students on television on PBS, and we really want to bring in those high school and junior high students. And I hope at some point they're children of the Internet that they'll email me at psmith@kixc.org and email me, students, and tell me what you want to see on television. You know, we're trying to do the potential to have a talent show perhaps televised from Weaver and Chico and these theaters that the outlying communities have, which are just incredible opportunities. I've gotten emails from folks that want to see the return of a program called Red Green, which I have to admit I hadn't seen that before, but I've been looking that up, and had a whole lot of folks, you know, who've emailed me and they're excited about the idea that we can bring a program like that back. And we'll be having a special pledge program for Red Green to raise some money for that, because it costs about $3,000 to put that show on the air. But we want to bring that back. You know, most importantly for you folks out there, I mean, the station has an incredible future with you. You know, a moment ago I said it was my station because I'm taking a lot of pride in being here and in making the station work. But it's, of course, our station. I mean, it's about the North State, so you need to get involved. You need to become members because, yes, I'm asking for money. We need to support the station because so little of the money comes from the government. So please support us.
Yeah, our guest has been Phil Smith, General Manager of KIXE. And, Phil, we're going to have you on again. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio.
You're listening to
KCNR Shasta Radio. So on KCNR 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott, 8:05 and 30 seconds.
Well, it is live radio, isn't it?
Is
I couldn't
radio.
Even get it out right. Last time. You know, Phil was here before.
We have, you know, and Phil talked to the very end.
And Bob is waving the 30-second mark, and you have to do your station identification just so you know that every hour you do have to say, okay, you're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding, and it's kind of giving you a little inside scoop. So if there was like, blah, blah, because it was all happening so fast.
You know, our guest in the last hour was Phil Smith, who was the general manager of KIXE. He addressed what had happened, why he canceled Democracy Now!, which in the chat room just went berserk at that point. The thing about it is, programming directors can do that, and he gave his reasons for it. And then he talked about all the things that are going to be happening here in the future. We're going to have him back on right now, it looks like, I think it's around September 6th or 8th, for a whole hour, and everybody can address a few more issues to him.
He's very accessible, by the way.
Right.
I would think that if you wanted to have an open dialogue with him, he seems like a really great guy, and he's taking years and years of experience and coming in and building something up. So at KIXE, we have an opportunity here with KIXE in order to have a beautiful jewel that we as a community can create. And the times are changing, you know. I think whenever you just think things are just leave it alone, they're okay the way they are, you know, like diesel engines, you know, the times are changing. You got to things have to change.
Yep.
So,
well, that's true. But you know something that doesn't change? That's the sheriff.
Yeah.
The sheriff doesn't change.
He's a constant.
He is a constant here. And our guest for the remainder of the show here is Sheriff Tom Basinko.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey,
how are you?
Sheriff Tom, how are you doing?
Very good.
You're looking hale today.
Hale.
Hale. You know, fit and well.
Well, I've never heard that expression
either. Hale and hearty? Hale and hearty? You haven't heard that?
Well, is that a Marine term?
Heard hail to the chief.
Well, let's not go there. Have you, you know, this seems like the new general manager, you know, wants to do a lot of, for the community here. And he can't help but, I mean, you may not agree with every decision he makes, but if he wants to do things for the community, well, we want to support that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and speaking of the community.
Well, we have the chat room open, by the way. You know, we love it when you guys interact with us. And if you've got questions for Tom, as we cover some of what's going on in the North State here, do call in at 605-4567. That is our hotline, 605-4567, or you can email, God, I must have a tongue twisting the thing this morning. Email me, Linda, at kcnr1460.com. And of course, you can go online and.
The chat room looks like there's going to be everybody that watched Democracy Now! Is going to get together and protest.
And Bob and Linda have their laptops going here.
Yep, and that means they're going to have, like, what, 25 to 30 people out there in front of KIC. Anyway, Tom, Redding and Shasta County have been in the news again.
Yep, always.
Okay, just, you know, and might as well start off with the big thing, the marijuana eradication program.
Our efforts are still continuing very briskly against illegal marijuana production in Shasta County. Our crews were out yesterday eradicating. Got around 20,000 plants, and to date, about 450,000 plants eradicated just in Shasta County.
Just in Shasta
County. And let's go back and revisit. One plant can produce how much marijuana and street value?
A very conservative estimate on one pound per plant of that's manicured bud, basically, and that can sell for anywhere from $3,000 to about $11,000 per pound, depending on the quality.
And the crop that plant produces, how many times per year?
They're getting basically two harvests out of our growing season here in the North State and in many parts of California.
So one plant could possibly produce $22,000 worth of pot?
No, well, it depends on how they groom it and harvest it to keep it going. They could just cut down the whole plant, or they could keep pruning it back and getting buds off of it for the growing season. Sometimes they make two plantings. They plant in early spring, and then later in the spring for the next harvest, another crop that will be harvested in the fall, September through November.
So your team that goes in and does the eradication or the eradicating of these pot plants is very dangerous because there's a lot of money at stake. What in the past 6 months, what's the climate been like in the last 6 months?
In the last 6 months here in Shasta County, we have not seen an uptick in violence. In fact, that was on the news this morning. But down in Sonoma, Napa, Mendocino areas, they've seen an uptick in violence, and they've had five armed confrontations with shootings that have resulted in fatal injuries for the illegal marijuana growers.
And we have not seen that part yet.
We have not seen that part here this year. 2003, there was an armed confrontation in Matton area, California. The individuals pointed guns at the police officers, and that's usually not a good thing to do, and they end up with fatal injuries. And then last year in Lassen County, on the Lassen County, Shasta County borders, another armed confrontation where marijuana growers shot at Lassen County and Bureau of Land Management officers, wounded two Lassen County deputies, and the growers ended up with fatal injuries also.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk about, you know, a couple other things. And unfortunately, everything We've had so many shows that just goes back to marijuana. It's taken, you know, it's permeating the, you know, what's going on around here. We want to talk some more about that, but we also want to talk about what's facing us here in the future, mm-hmm. especially with the budget cuts and how the Sheriff's Department talked it out with the supervisors and got those things working. Any ideas you might have, and a couple other questions, and people that are chatting or emailing or calling in. This is Carlin DeBott, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko. This is KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's going to be 108 degrees today, my friend. So you go in there and see Espresso Joe's and get some of those icy coffee drinks. They make mango smoothies. They make it all. And it will cool you off. You go right next door into the community room and take your computer in there and do some Wi-Fi. And they've got the finest walk-in humidor when you go in the other direction into Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley are great Americans. They do so much for our community. This is a great business to support because they support us. Our guest today is Sheriff Tom Basenko, and we started off with marijuana being gathered and then how they were starting to confront people.
A lot more throughout California, primarily down in the Sonoma, Napa, Mendocino areas.
Have you been following what's going on up in Trinity County? Up in Hayfork.
I followed that on the news, and it's kind of out of control there. And it's great that the U.S. Forest Service and Cal Fire and some of the district attorney investigators are trying to take back some of the area that has been overrun by illegal marijuana growing.
Well, I was up there, and I took a tour with the one of the supervisors, Roger Yeager. It's unbelievable, Tom. And I talked to a lady who has since called me twice. And she was in tears. Now, this is a strong lady, and she's just in tears about what was happening. She is now surrounded by growth areas, plantations, and here's her home that she's had for years. And she said, I can't even sell this place because I'm surrounded by marijuana growers. They, they've got fences up, but their dogs, they don't use any type of any of the permits, anything. Mm-hmm. And she says nobody is doing anything.
There's huge environmental issues and health issues. A lot of times raw sewage is being dumped into the environment, plus all the other fertilizers and stuff. And I sympathize with her because she's right. Nobody would want to buy her property unless it would be another marijuana producer.
Well, see, that's it. And, you know, and it's not, you know, before the chat room explodes again, I'm not against medicinal marijuana. It's not that. I'm against people coming up and destroying the environment up there, taking away the rights of other people to make a profit. And that's all this is about. It's making a profit.
The damage that people would see to the environment, that what we see every day and in the photographs that we have, it would be appalling. Between clear-cutting of parts of our forest, terracing, making the cisterns for their water supplies, environmental damage from herbicides, pesticides, and fertilizers. Some of these herbicides and pesticides are illegal in California because they've been smuggled in from Mexico due to their strength. Poaching of wildlife and killing of other wildlife in the area. Just at that aspect, it's a huge issue. And then, as you said, the rights of our citizens to go out and enjoy our great pristine North State in the woods essentially has been taken away for a lot of areas. Some of these marijuana plantations are as little as an eighth mile away from major recreation areas like Brandy Creek, Castle Craig State Park, or just right off a main highway. It's not very remote. Sometimes they're very remote and other times they're not.
Well, we've had people say that they used to take walks right here outside of Reading here, taking a walk down one of these trails. And all of a sudden, there's a fence and marijuana and dogs, and they feel like they are in fear. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody has done anything to them, and a lot of times it's just an intimidation factor that hits them.
Well, there's that, and we're also seeing an uptick in California about crimes against marijuana producers, whether it be under Proposition 215 for the medical marijuana side, where they're having home invasions. And robberies for the marijuana. We're seeing that also.
Well, isn't it about, it must be pretty close to being harvest time right now?
It is. In fact, we were just commenting about that. Yesterday I had a meeting with some of the staff, and they're seeing a lot of it has been harvested already. They've harvested a little bit early. They got a late start due to our late spring that we had, and they've harvested earlier, so we don't know if there will be a fall harvest or not. And they're also getting the growing times shortened through genetic developments in the marijuana plants.
Well, if people have got a medicinal marijuana plantation there of 100 plants, and we're figuring, let's just say, you know, if you say conservatively 100 pounds out of 100 plants that are worth $5,000, it doesn't take a huge leap to see where people may be coming after their stash.
Right, exactly. Last year, just in illegal marijuana grows, not anything to do with the medicinal marijuana, we removed about 640,000 marijuana plants in Shasta County alone. And a lot of that's for distribution throughout the United States. And then if you use that conservative estimate of about $5,000 per pound, you're into about $1.2 or $3 billion.
Okay, we've got to take a break here. We'll keep that in mind, that $1.3 billion. I want to roll into Proposition 19 then.
Okay, you bet.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You are listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. Good morning. It's going to be a great day. Currently 77 degrees, going to be high today of 108. This portion of the show is brought to you by Espresso Joe's inside of Tobacco and Brew. Looking at our website, of course, here with Free Fire Radio, because we are going to be holding some debates ourselves there for a city council. And we want to encourage you always to go out to Tobacco and Brew. It's a great place, and they really support the veterans, and we love it there. Go there for your iced coffee today.
That's right. And the
Hilltop Drive.
At least, Bob, you didn't play, you know, White Rabbit talking about people eating mushrooms and getting big and then small. You know, so, you know, with the sheriff being here.
Linda had her lead in. We're talking about marijuana, and she said, and a high today of 108.
Yeah. Well, at the break, Tom, our guest, of course, if you're just tuning in, is our sheriff, Tom Basenko. And you know what? I want to give you a compliment. And I mean this wholeheartedly, is that I really appreciate knowing that my sheriff is so accessible. I like you're everywhere. You are accessible.
I look at that as part of the job, being accessible to the people. After all, they're the ones who elected me to be their representative here, and I try and make many community events just to see the people and interact with them, hear their concerns and what's important to them.
That's comforting.
And that's one of the reasons we want to have, you know, the sheriff on a regular basis, so that we can talk about these things. When we left, we were talking about $1.4 billion worth of marijuana that was eradicated just out of this mm-hmm. county last year. Proposition 19, Sheriff. Legalize marijuana. Oh, we can make all this money off it. What do you think?
I disagree with that, because most of it has been shown as a myth to generate a lot of money. The California Chamber of Commerce put out a nice white paper regarding the impact of Proposition 19, and people could look that up by doing a Google for the Cal Chamber, for the California Chamber of Commerce. It could actually end up costing California billions of dollars in lost federal contracts because of a drug-free workplace or not, because marijuana is still illegal federally. It could end up costing millions, if not billions of dollars in workers' compensation, because employers would be limited on trying to make restrictions against marijuana in the workplace. Unbelievably, you're restricted from smoking cigarettes in the workplace, but since marijuana is not a tobacco product, you could theoretically smoke marijuana in the workplace if this was passed.
Well, there's the problem with doing business via propositions. A lot of times it's you throw the proposition up there and there's nothing to back it up. There's no defining guidance on it.
Again, it's another poorly written law. The district attorney of Los Angeles County, Steve Cooley, has also taken a position of opposition against Proposition 19. the California Narcotics Officers Association, California Chiefs Association, California State Sheriffs Association, all are in opposition to it. And then even the Association of the State School Administrators Association has taken an opposition to it as well. I just downloaded a paper yesterday, haven't had a chance to review it, but they're coming out against it as well.
Well, I understand Boxer, Feinstein, they're against it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Jerry Brown is. I don't know if he's come out of...
I don't think he's had a position on that.
Well, maybe after he... Oh, I was going to say after he puts it down, but we don't know that he does that. I know that, like you said, the police chiefs and everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, it seems that so many people want to have this, that they believe it's their right to be able to do this, is to be able to smoke marijuana. You know, it doesn't have the harmful effects that alcohol and meth and all these other have.
I disagree with you there, because it does have harmful effects. A great person to have on here at some time in the future would be our county health officer, Andrew Deckert, a doctor. He has a long litany of health issues related to marijuana, both short-term and long-term issues. And then you still see people say that marijuana doesn't hurt people. Recently in the news, there was where people under the influence of marijuana have been involved in fatal traffic collisions. While alcohol and tobacco are legal, now let's add another one to the mix if this gets legalized. Just look at all the problems we have in America with medical issues and problems, health issues, and addictions just due to tobacco and alcohol. Now let's add another one into the mix.
Okay.
That's not good.
Let's talk about, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, I want to
pose a question. We have a number of chats that are coming
through. Yeah, a lot of chats.
We need to talk about that.
And emails, and I'd like to pose a question or a hypothetical and see if you think that could be a reasonable thing for us to combat the situation that really is so out of hand, very dangerous at this time. We're going to have to take a break in just a little bit, but our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko, and our chat room is open. You can always give us a call at 605-4567. That is our hotline.
When we come back, like we said, we've got like 20 seconds here. We're going to address the chat line, because they're coming in and saying, you know, hey, people are driving stone now, and, you know, what they're out there already. I know how big a difference this is going to be, but we'll address that
sure.
When we get back. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's August 24th. It's 8:24 in the morning. You just got to love Dave and Ernie.
Hey, before we went to break, we were talking about, pot eradication, and our guest this morning is Sheriff Tom Basenko, and thank you. We're going to be discussing many topics this morning, but before we go there, I just want to share with you, if I were king for the day, what I would do, and it seems to me to make sense, because there are some people who do need medicinal marijuana there, that they choose to use that rather than the form of a hard narcotic. And if they have a doctor's prescription or whatever you want to call it to do that they should be able to then, if they want to grow plants in their bathroom, that they can grow up to what, three plants or whatever it is. So they can, they that's legal. But as far as pot farms, I think if we are going to have pot farms, I can see having a pot farm, a place that is on acres where you drive to it. If you need, you don't want to grow the plants, and you go buy it, purchase like a big, like a Costco.
Actually, City of Oakland just legalized that, two big warehouses in some commercial district for commercial marijuana production.
And then at that point, then the person running that, whoever that is, Monsanto, whoever it is, the big corporation or whoever, co-ops that are running these warehouses, then can make sure that the soil, it's natural soil.
Organic hemp.
Organic. It's not it's really interesting in listening to a radio show. We were hearing that some pot is grown in lava beds, and the inhaling of a bad soil that has where the plants have been growing really can affect your system. You're laughing at me.
Well, right now there is no quality control. If you chose to grow it,
right. You
could be spraying it with pesticides
right.
and then selling it and then inhaling it. And that's the problem with it. There is no quality control for part of it. The law was poorly written, but we do have it there and must comply with that component of it. There is already commercial products, pharmaceutical products. One of them is called Marinol that has the active ingredient of marijuana, and it can be prescribed because that part of it is a prescription drug versus a recommendation for just marijuana. However, most of the pro-marijuana people don't want to recognize that component.
Well, they see that as a man-made substance as opposed to a organically grown in your backyard right. stuff.
And then some of your pro-marijuana people are opposing this mass production in Oakland because they're saying it's going to lower the price.
Well, it should be interesting to
watch.
Back
down to profits.
Watching, if it truly is for, you know, medicinal reasons, then it should be interesting.
The prices should be lower.
It should be interesting to watch Oakland as a model for how to grow it and keep our forests safe.
Mm. I don't know if we want to use Oakland as a quote-unquote model.
Well, yeah. Well, let's talk about white dope. You call it white dope.
Yep, and that's methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine. We have two task forces in Shasta County that work with other task forces throughout the state and the nation. One is called CINTIF, the Shasta Interagency Narcotics Task Force, and the other one is CalMet, which is the California Multi-Jurisdictional Methamphetamine Enforcement Team, and that's a five-county methamphetamine enforcement team looking at for your higher-end dealers and traffickers in primarily methamphetamine. But most of the dealers now are what we call polydrug dealers. They deal in all sorts of drugs, including prescription medications and marijuana.
Well, before we leave the meth, because I do want to address the prescription narcotics that is getting to be a huge problem, it seems like if you look at the mugshots, in people have, you know,
there's a trend there.
There seems to be a trend on meth and a lot of the people in there, and plus other controlled substances. But how the amount of meth in Shasta County going up, going down, staying about the same? Are people changing their drug of choice?
They're not changing. Well, we're seeing a change in. You still have your meth users, but also you're seeing a lot of prescription drug use and abuse, primarily with OxyContins now, and we're seeing upticks in robberies of pharmacies for OxyContin. They're selling Oxys on the market. Some teens are actually using it and selling it in high schools and getting it out of their parents' and grandparents' medicine cabinets and taking those.
Well, let's revisit that again because when we had you on before, we did discuss the fact that it might not even be your child. It could be your child's friend that comes and uses the restroom.
That's correct.
And that you really do need to have your medications put away just for the safety of, just be thinking about that. Everybody listening to this, be thinking about the fact it might not be your family. It could be friends. Could be the person who's house-sitting. You just never know.
You know, like last year, CINTIF ended up seizing about 46 pounds of methamphetamine just from Shasta County here. And then they also got into some ecstasy tablets, about 215 of those, and about 65 grams of heroin, and it's about 28.5 grams per ounce, so a little over 2 ounces, almost three, in heroin. But then a big uptick where they seized about 1,100 Oxys, OxyContin pills, and about 260 hydrocodone pills and methadone pills. Those are also, and Dilaudids. Those are all painkiller medications there. And we're seeing an uptick on those pharmaceutical seizures and dealers with it as well.
We've got to take a break here. When we come back, got about 20 minutes left. And I'd like to talk about where you see the future is for the Shasta County Sheriff's Department with the ongoing budget crisis we're having.
Sure.
How you're going to face that, what we can expect here in the future, Tom.
Okay.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. The time is 8:46 in the morning. It's phone lines here, 605-4567. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue. Man's Last Stronghold, Tim, D.C., and the Man in Black. Cut hair, good haircuts, fair prices, and they don't style hair. They cut hair. They don't gel hair. They may put a little butch wax in it, but that's about it. You can read great magazines. You can sit there. You can have a good time in the Man's Last Stronghold on Cypress Square Barbershop. A lot of the police and sheriff and military types and just manly men go there.
Yeah, although I don't have enough hair to cut, so
I think they say that they charge extra for that.
Yeah, I can listen to the clipping of their little clicking of the scissors, and that's about it. But I was laughing at your comment about butch wax, because I remember when I was a kid in grammar school getting a jar of that and always having my front part of my hair going up straight there.
That was it. You know, now they want to gel you. Now, and then he says, oh, you put some gel in your hair. No. Anyway, okay, our guest is Sheriff Tom Basinkle. Tom, and we've talked a lot about the marijuana, we've talked, you know, the drugs and everything, but where is the Sheriff's Department going? We're in a situation now where it's revenue in the county is going down, mm-hmm. down. What can we expect from the Sheriff's Department?
Very fortunately, right now our county budget, a lot depends on what happens at the state level, but right now we're kind of stable. We're seeing still a little bit of a dip in our property taxes and values, and that can affect county budget. But if the economy continues to stay at a downturn, then our sales tax will continue to be down, and that impacts public safety directly because we get about half a percent from sales tax for a public safety fund. Last year, there were some drastic cuts made to public safety, specifically the sheriff's office, but it was actually needed because just a few months later, there was another downturn, and the board didn't want to have any more cuts to sheriff's office, and so they elected to put about $2 million out of what I call the savings account, reserve funds,
right,
into the public safety fund. We got about $1.5 million of those. If they did not do that, dip into their reserves, we would have ended up with more layoffs. We're seeing it impact the city of Reading. The city council has some very difficult decisions, and there's been layoffs at the city of Reading with police department. And then I just read the news last night or this morning for the Red Bluff Daily News. Dehama County Board of Supervisors is looking at cutting $3 million from their total budget, which will also impact the sheriff's office there. Red Bluff PD is looking at downturns. Up and down the state, the headlines are the same, where sheriff's offices and police departments are being impacted by this economy.
Well, they have a lot of it, of course, is based on pension reform, health care reform like this. I believe Red Bluff took a 12%, the police officers took a 12% pay cut.
Yes.
And that's a pretty big pay cut, plus mm-hmm. paying all 9% mm-hmm. into CalPERS.
That is, and then I still go back to, I believe it was Thomas Jefferson said that basically government's first responsibility is to protect its citizens. And I think that's some of the core values and core mission statements of government is to protect its citizens. And we could see that on a federal level and all the way down to the local level. And I think that should be a top priority of our elected officials that are making those votes, whether it be in Sacramento or locally.
Well, you know, to support that, you know, sometimes you have to be even as draconian in services cut. If public safety is our first priority, if our infrastructure is our first priority in those top priorities, then something else has to be cut out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to get any better.
It gets down to simply, we can't do what they're doing in Sacramento. We can't spend money that we don't have. And basically the revenue that's coming into Sacramento, I think it's in around the $85 billion bracket. Well, that was then. Right now, that's the same amount of revenue that occurred a number of years ago. But our spending programs are still on the uptick, and that's what's putting it all out of whack.
Yeah, you know, and that doesn't seem to be changing. It seems to be that we've got instead of doing budgets at the state level, they're wondering about which is, you know, their state rock. What should be the state rock? You know, let's not go into let's do bags. You know, bags are more important than bringing money back into the state. You know, we should have a plastic bag or a paper bag. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. Okay, so I know that the Sheriff's Department has met, of course, with the supervisors and have agreed on certain things. You know, as far as pay and you know, CalPERS and this.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all seem to have come to a kind of a general agreement here.
Elected officials throughout Shasta County, such as the district attorney, myself, an assessor, and the auditor controller, we all last year took salary cuts and also revised our retirement contributions. We saw the same from our labor partners to make concessions to help bridge this gap of budget shortfalls. And it's still continuing. There's still some negotiations out there within the county, but we're seeing it up and down the state the same way.
Okay, we've got our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko. We want to take a quick break and we come back in our last segment. I want to talk about things that Tom would like to see as far as law enforcement, as far as which way the Sheriff's Department is going here for the remainder of the year and out a couple of years. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hello.
Down, no, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:56 in the morning. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko. This is Carl and Linda Bott, and we've had a lot of chat room stuff. We have people calling in during the breaks. Okay, Tom, school.
I wanted to ask you, before we say goodbye today, you know, it's back to school time. Is there an upsurge of any kind of, you know, crime that happens with back to school? And what do we need to look out for our kids as they go back into the school year? What's going on?
Usually we see an uptick in crime right around the lunch hours, even though some may have closed campuses, vandalism, of course, speeding vehicles for the youth that's driving. Sometimes we see maybe some daytime burglaries or thefts surrounding the school areas. But the biggest thing for back to school is for everybody that's sharing the roadway, slow down and be cautious. Bob was just mentioning that someone almost rear-ended him when he was stopping for a school bus. Maybe start, when you see that school bus, even if the yellow lights are flashing, start slowing down. And if there's someone behind you, that gives them maybe some time to anticipate to slow down as well. You could even turn on your emergency flashers as you're slowing down. Stop for school buses with red flashing lights. There's kids around. You don't want to end up hurting or killing one of them.
That's a good reminder.
School zones. Slow down. I was coming here, and CHP is putting up some of the radar trailers in school zones, and then they're working school zones for traffic as well to get people to slow down because it's 25 miles an hour around the school zone. Because there's a lot of traffic. You shouldn't drive distracted. You shouldn't be texting or on the cell phone. That's when accidents occur.
The Chelly Avenue, when you go over the when you do that overpass, right there, that school, and it says 25 miles an hour, and I don't see anybody driving 25. I bet you could just line up people there and give them tickets.
And I know the
Red Hartnell. No, it's right off Hartnell. I think it's on Bocelli right there, isn't it?
Hartnell off Bocelli.
Yeah, Hartnell off Bocelli. No, it's Bocelli. Anyway.
All school zones. The biggest thing is I know our friends at Reading Police Department, traffic, they also work traffic to get people to slow down in those school zones because it's a major concern.
Right. Okay, we've got a few minutes left. Gangs.
We're still seeing some issues. The chief of police and other law enforcement in Shasta County go out and work SAGE, Shasta Anti-Gang Enforcement. People should be aware, and if they think they see gang graffiti, call in and get it addressed. There's also a gang graffiti trailer in which groups like church groups or civic organizations or individuals can get this trailer. It's equipped with paint. They can paint out graffiti Because you don't, if you leave it up, it's going to continue and get worse in areas, kind of the broken window syndrome, what we call it, and address it. And okay. Call in, be our eyes and our ears.
Okay, so if you have the trailer with the paint that you can paint out, what do they call the sheriff's department? How do they get...
The easiest way is call the Youth Violence Prevention Council. And they have access to the trailer. You can schedule it. It's fully equipped with the paint and brushes. And you can make a weekend of it or a day and get out graffiti in the Shasta County area, in the city, or in your neighborhood.
Great. Okay, biggest problem or biggest concern for the next year?
Biggest concern is trying to survive with this downturn in the economy. It'd be great if we could open up that floor of the jail, but that requires about $2 million to the sheriff's office for the county to get so we can house these offenders.
Per year?
Per year. And it would go up a little bit, of course, if there's any changes in health insurance and all that stuff. But roughly about, $2 million a year. We need a new animal control facility. Ours is 60 years old. If you've gone through it, it's a crying shame with the conditions that are there with the buildings and stuff, but we're trying to do the best we can with what we have. Obviously, get more law enforcement personnel, the deputy sheriffs, get more on the street. We need those, but that takes money, and that takes an involved economy to be able to pay for it.
Well, Sheriff Tom Sinkel has been our guest, and this is just the beginning. We've been talking to the sheriff about having a regular once-a-month time with the sheriff and the people that work with him and work for him. And we're going to begin that next month in September. And I think this is because accessibility, like Linda said, for you. And then this also allows people to ask questions and to see what's going on and get from the sheriff what's going on and not just have to read something that may or may not quite be true.
Mm-hmm. And again, thanks to you folks, what you do for the community and what you do for our men and women that have served in our military and are currently serving in our military. I really appreciate both of you, what you do for veterans.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Sheriff. Again, it's an honor to be able to do that. And it's a something that we have, when we started, this was something we were going to do. And it's just been easy to do in the North State. I mean, people up here love their veterans. They love their country. They're very supportive, I believe, of everything that's going on.
Progress is still being made on the Veterans Home out off of Knighton Road. I see that's progressing, which is be a great place for them to spend their golden years together and have a nice environment there. So it's great that finally got kicked off a few months ago.
It did. And then what Senator Maurice Johannesson did with the chapel up there.
That is great. And again, thanks to Maurice for his commitment to veterans and commitment to the North State here. And that's progressing along very well.
In our community for their generous outpouring of 12 hours and raising over $26,000 and still money coming in for the chapel.
Reading and Shasta County is such a giving and generous community, and our citizens, whatever the project may be, it could be breast cancer, it can be veterans, it can be a number of issues, and Shasta County and citizens always step up, and thanks to everybody out there.
And it's amazing. And, one of the reasons we all, I think, really like living here. Tomorrow. One of the many reasons that
we get to do what we do, and we love it. So thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we hope to have you again, like we said, Sheriff Bisanku, on a regular basis here on our show, Free Fire Radio.
Thanks.
Tomorrow we're going to be talking about that, the Survivor Stride, and the work being done with that. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Media. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.